And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today's May 25th, Memorial Day. I saw the interest as an editorial in the New York Times called it a day to celebrate white supremacy. That's what you get when you let people who spend their lives in their mother's basements write editorials for major newspapers. What they said couldn't be further from the truth. Actually, most of the article was ranting and raving about the fact that military posts in the South are named after, some of them are named after Southern generals. Memorial Day is actually an American holiday, observed on the last Monday of May. And it honors the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. This year, of course, and, you know, it's on May 25th. Originally, it was known as Decoration Day. It originated in the years after the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. Now, a lot of Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries, holding family gatherings, participating in parades, and it marks the beginning of the summer season. Now, the Civil War ended in the spring of 1865. April, actually. Claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history, and it required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. Now, by the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. In fact, every Memorial Day, a national moment of remembrance takes place at 3 p.m. local time. Now, it's unclear exactly where this tradition originated. Numerous different communities may have independently initiated the memorial gatherings. Records show that one of the earliest Memorial Day commemorations was organized by a group of freed slaves in Charleston, South Carolina, less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. So, but in 1966, federal government declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. And they had better representation, I guess. Now, Waterloo, which first celebrated the day, May 5th, 1866, was chosen because it hosted an annual community-wide event. Businesses closed and residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. May 5th, 1868, General John Logan, leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, called for a nationwide day of remembrance later that month. 30th of May, 1868 is designated for the purposes of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard, in the land, he said. Now, the date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. Now, on the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. A lot of northern states held similar commemorative events and continued their tradition in subsequent years. By 1890, each one had made Decoration Day an official state holiday. Southern states, on the other hand, continued to honor their dead in separate ways until after World War I. Confederate Memorial Day is still celebrated in some states, and that's Sunday, April 26, 2020 in Florida, Monday, April 27, 2020 in Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and May 11, 2020 in parts of South Carolina. The practice of commemorating the Confederacy became even more controversial after the massacre at the Emanuel AME Church in Charleston in 2015. Memorial Day, as Decoration Day, gradually came to be known, originally honored only those lost while fighting in the Civil War. But during World War I, U.S. found itself embroiled in another major conflict. And that holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korean War, and wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. For decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed May 30th, the date Logan selected for that first Decoration Day. But in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May. They wanted to create three-day weekends for federal employees. Change went into effect in 1971. That same law also made Memorial Day a federal holiday. So you see, it wasn't a white supremacy celebration at all. But unfortunately, the New York Times, which is kind of, exists in a bubble of activism, made itself a fool once again. Now, cities and towns across the U.S. host Memorial Day parades every year. They often incorporate military personnel and members of veterans organizations. Some of the largest parades take place in Chicago, New York, and Washington, D.C. Elsewhere, Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries and memorials. Some people wear a red poppy in remembrance of those fallen in war. That tradition began in World War I. On a less somber note, many people take weekend trips or throw parties and barbecues on that particular day because Memorial Day weekend unofficially marks the beginning of summer. Now, the sad thing is, so many people the New York Times has the reputation as a solid newspaper. Unfortunately, it's fast losing it. And they're losing it because they're so busy dealing with Trump derangement syndrome and all its offshoots, they don't stop to think. A lot of people don't care. I mean, CNN, for example, has ranted and raved to the point they've lost their audience. And where people used to swear by what the New York Times said, now they swear at it. Well, we've been talking about the ghost of California. And there have been, there's a lot of haunted places in that state. And we're going to talk about a lot of them very shortly. The we've been talking about the fact that this is May 25th, 145th day of the year, 146th leap year. In 567 BC, Servius Tullius, the king of Rome, celebrates a triumph for his victory over the Etruscans. In 240 BC, the first recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet. 1085, Alfonso VI of Castile takes Toledo, Spain, back from the Moors. 1420, Henry the Navigator is appointed governor of the Order of Christ. 1521, the Diet of Worms ends with Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, issuing the Edict of Worms, declaring Martin Luther an outlaw. And there's been more death and destruction and horror caused by religion than almost anything else on the planet. 1644, Ming General Wu Sangui forms an alliance with the invading Manchus and opens the gates of the Great Wall of China at Shanhaiguan Pass, letting the Manchus through toward the capital, Beijing. 1659, Richard Cromwell resigns as Lord Protector of England. Following the restoration of the Long Parliament, begins a second period of the republican government called the Commonwealth of England. 1660, Charles II lands at Dover at the invitation of the Convention Parliament, which marks the end of the Cromwell-proclaimed Commonwealth of England, Scotland, and Ireland, and begins a restoration of the British monarchy. See, Charles I was executed at Cromwell's orders. Charles II came back and restored the monarchy. 1738, a treaty between Pennsylvania and Maryland ends the Conojocular War with settlement of a boundary dispute and exchange of prisoners. 1787, after a delay of 11 days, the U.S. Constitutional Convention formally convenes in Philadelphia after a quorum of seven states is secured. 1798, United Irishman Rebellion. The Battle of Carlow begins. Executions of suspected rebels at Carnew and Dunlavin Green take place. 1809, Chuquisaca Revolution. Patriot Revolt in Chuquisaca, modern-day Sucre, against the Spanish Empire, sparking the Latin American War of Independence. 1810, citizens of Buenos Aires expel Viceroy Baltasar Hidalgo de Cisneros during the May Week, starting the Argentine War of Independence. 1819, the Argentine Constitution of 1819 is promulgated. 1833, the Chilean Constitution of 1833 is promulgated. 1865, Mobile, Alabama. Around 300 are killed when an ordnance depot explodes. 1878, Gilbert and Sullivan's comic opera HMS Pinafore opens at the Opera Comique in London. 1895, playwright, poet, novelist, and esthete Oscar Wilde is convicted of committing acts of gross indecency with other male persons and given a 2-year prison sentence. 1895, Republic of Formosa is formed with Tang Jingsong is its president. 1914, the House of Commons of the UK passes the Home Rule Bill for devolution in Ireland. 1925, the Scopes Trial. John T. Scopes is indicted for teaching human evolution in Tennessee. 1926, Shalom Schwarzbard assassinates Simon Petlura, the head of the government of the Ukrainian People's Republic, which is in government and exile in Paris. 1935, Jesse Owens of Ohio State University breaks 3 world records and ties a 4th at the Big Ten Conference Track and Field Championships in Ann Arbor, Michigan. 1938, the Spanish Civil War. The bombing of Alicante kills 313 people. 1940, the German 2nd Panzer Division captures the port of Boulogne, Sur Mer. The surrender of the last French and British troops marks the end of the Battle of Boulogne. 1946, the Parliament of Transjordan makes Abdullah I of Jordan their emir. 1953, at the Nevada test site, the U.S. conducts its first and only nuclear artillery test. 1953, the first public television station in the U.S. officially begins broadcasting is KUHT from the campus of the University of Houston. 1955, in the U.S., a nighttime F5 tornado strikes the small city of Eudall, Kansas. Kills 80, injures 273. Deadliest tornado to ever occur in the state and the 23rd deadliest in the U.S. 1955, first ascent of Kangchenjunga, 8,586 meters, the third highest mountain in the world, by a British expedition led by Charles Evans, Joe Brown, and George Bann. They reached the summit May 25th, followed by Norman Hardy and Tony Strether the next day. 1961, U.S. President John Kennedy announces before a special joint session of Congress his goal to initiate a project to put a man on the moon before the end of the decade. 1963, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the Organization of African Unity is established. 1966, Explorer 32 launches. 1968, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis is dedicated. 1973, the captain and crew on the Greek naval destroyer Velos mutiny in order to protest the dictatorships in Greece. Velos, anchored in Fiumicino, Italy, refuses to go back to Greece. 1977, Star Wars is released in theaters. That same year, Chinese government removes a decade-old ban on William Shakespeare's work, effectively ending the Cultural Revolution started in 1966. 1978, first bomb of a series of bombings orchestrated by the Unabomber detonates at Northwestern University. Minor injuries. 1979, John Spinkelink, a convicted murderer, is executed in Florida. He's the first person to be executed in Florida after capital punishment was reinstated in 1976. Also in 79, American Airlines Flight 191. In Chicago, a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 crashes during takeoff at O'Hare International Airport, kills all 271 on board, and kills two people on the ground. 1981, in Riyadh, the Gulf Cooperation Council is created between Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. 1982, the Falkland Wars. The HMS Coventry is sunk by Argentine Air Force A4 Skyhawks. 1985, Bangladesh is hit by a tropical cyclone and a storm surge. About 10,000 people are killed. 1986, Hands Across America takes place. 1997, a military coup in Sierra Leone replaces President Ahmad Tihan Cabal with Major Johnny Paul Karoma. 1999, the U.S. House of Representatives releases the Cox Report that details the People's Republic of China's nuclear espionage against the U.S. over the previous 20 years. 2000, Liberation Day of Lebanon, Israel withdraws its army from Lebanese territory except for the disputed Shibai Farm Zone, 18 years after its invasion in 1982. 2001, Eric Weihenmayer becomes the first blind person to reach the summit of Mount Everest in the Himalayas with Dr. Sherman Bull. 2002, Chinese Airlines Flight 611 disintegrates in midair and crashes in the Taiwan Strait. All 225 people on board are killed. 2008, NASA's Phoenix lander lands in Green Valley region of Mars to search for environments suitable for water and microbial life. 2009, North Korea allegedly tests its second nuclear device. Following the nuclear test, Pyongyang also conducted several missile tests, building tensions in the international community. 2011, Oprah Winfrey airs her last show, ending her 25-year run of the Oprah Winfrey Show. 2012, the SpaceX Dragon becomes the first commercial spacecraft to successfully rendezvous and berth with the International Space Station. 2013, suspected Maoist rebels killed 28 people and injured 32 others in an attack on a convoy of Indian National Congress politicians in Chhattisgarh, India. 2013, a gas cylinder explodes on a school bus in the Pakistani city of Gujarat, kills at least 18. 2018, the General Data Protection Regulation becomes enforceable. And finally, in 2018, Ireland votes to repeal the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution of Ireland, prohibiting abortion in all but a few cases, choosing to replace it with the 36th Amendment of the Constitution of Ireland. And we have got more births and deaths, and we can shake a stick at on this particular date. May 25th is Africa Day in the African Union. And Rastafari and the African Union, it's African Liberation Day. Christian Feast Day, Aldhelm, Beatty, Canius, Dionysius of Milan, Dushad, Makhsen Falid, Gerald of Lunel, Madeline Sophie Barat, Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, Maximus of Evreux, Pope Boniface IV, Pope Gregory VII, Pope Urban I, Zenobius of Florence. It's the earliest day on which Arbor Day can fall. May 31st is the latest. Celebrated on the last Sunday in May in Venezuela. Earliest day on which Children's Day can fall. May 31st is the latest. Celebrated on the last Sunday in May in Hungary. Earliest day on which the holiday of St. Eshmadzin can fall. July 27th is the latest. Celebrated on the 64th day after Easter in Armenia. Earliest day on which Memorial Day can fall. May 31st is the latest in the U.S. It's the last Monday in May. Earliest day on which Mother's Day can fall. May 31st is the latest. Celebrated on the last Sunday in May in Algeria, Dominican Republic, France, Haiti, Mauritius, Morocco, Sweden, and Tunisia. Earliest day on which Turkmen Kapat Day can fall. While May 31st is the latest. Celebrated on the last Sunday in May in Turkmenistan. In Argentina, it's the first national government and national day. In Greek cultures, Geek Pride Day in Geek culture. Independence Day celebrates independence of Jordan from the UK in 1946. Last Bell, Russia, post-Soviet countries. Liberation Day in Lebanon. International Missing Children's Day in the United States. National Tap Dance Day in the United States. And Towel Day in honor of the work of the writer Douglas Adams. Don't know what that has to do with towels, but who am I? Alrighty. I already talked about Memorial Day. The Department of Veterans Affairs recognizes approximately 25 places claimed to have originated this holiday. At Columbus State University in Columbus, Georgia, there's a Center for Memorial Day Research. The University of Mississippi incorporates a Center for Civil War Research. It's also led research into Memorial Day origins. Practice of decorating soldiers' graves with flowers is actually a very ancient custom. Soldiers' graves were decorated in the U.S. before and during the American Civil War. According to the United States Library of Congress website, Southern women decorate the graves of soldiers even before the Civil War ends. In 1865, Mississippi, Virginia, and South Carolina all had precedents for Memorial Day. Early Southern Memorial Day celebrations were simple. In fact, June 3rd, 1861, Warrenton, Virginia was the location of the first Civil War soldier's grave ever to be decorated. Decoration was for the funeral of the first soldier killed in action during the Civil War, John Quincy Marr, who died June 1st, 1861, during a skirmish at the Battle of Fairfax Courthouse in Virginia. July of 1862, women in Savannah, Georgia, decorated the graves at Laurel Grove Cemetery of Colonel Francis Bartow and his comrades who died at the Battle of Manassas. Now, the United States National Park Service and numerous scholars attribute the beginning of a Memorial Day practice in the South to a group of women in Columbus, Georgia. They were the Ladies Memorial Association of Columbus. They were represented by Mary Ann Williams, who as secretary wrote a letter to the press in March of 1866 asking their assistance in establishing an annual holiday. Then after the war's end, in April of 1866, four women of Columbus, Mississippi, gathered together to decorate the graves of Confederate soldiers. And they also went on to honor the Union soldiers buried there. 1863, the dedication in Gettysburg included a ceremony of commemoration at the graves of dead soldiers. There's some who claim that President Lincoln was the founder of Memorial Day, but Chicago journalist Lloyd Lewis made the case it was Lincoln's funeral that spurred the soldiers' grave decorating that followed. Now, as I said, the op-ed piece in the New York Times that called it a white supremacist holiday just shows the writer spent too much time in his mother's basement and only come out so people can look at him and go, gee, he's an activist. He has no idea what he's talking about, and that's the sad thing. Too many people who don't know what they're talking about talk more than those who do know the facts. Now, in April 1865, following Lincoln's assassination, commemorations were widespread. More than 600,000 soldiers of both sides who died in the Civil War meant that the burial and memorialization that took on a new cultural significance. By the 1880s, ceremonies are becoming more consistent across geography as the Grand Army of the Republic veterans provided handbooks that presented specific procedures, poems, and Bible verses for local post commanders to utilize in planning the local event. Well, you know, by the 20th century, various Union memorial traditions celebrated on different days merged, and Memorial Day eventually extended to honor all Americans who died in military service. From the 1860s to the 1920s, Indiana saw numerous debates on how to expand the celebration. It was a favorite lobbying activity of the Grand Army of the Republic. Those are all Union veterans. In 1884, the GAR handbook explained that Memorial Day was a day of all days in the GAR calendar in terms of mobilizing public support for pensions. Now, Memorial Day endures as a holiday, which most businesses observe because it marks the beginning of summer. The VFW, Sons of Union Veterans of Civil War, advocated returning to the original date, which was the 30th of May. VFW stated in 2002, changing the date merely to create a three-day weekend is frankly undermined the meaning of the day. Now, in 2000, Congress passed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, asking people to stop and remember at 3 p.m. Now, since 1868, Doylestown, Pennsylvania has held annual Memorial Day parades, which it claims to be the nation's oldest continually running. Grafton, West Virginia has also had an ongoing parade since 1868. But the Memorial Day parade in Rochester, Wisconsin actually dates from 1867. Well, when you see the accusations that this supports right supremacy, now you know the facts. And for many people, facts get in the way. All right. We are talking about the Haunted California in Pomona, Ganesha High. During the night, you can hear the wind, and if you're there, you suddenly feel like somebody's watching. And then slowly, you can make out the shape of a girl standing in the darkness. Those who've seen her say her eyes are red. Parker Dam, intake pump plant, Metropolitan Water District. Workers there report hearing whistles and keys jangling when there's nobody else around. Pasadena, there's an abandoned asylum off of Green Street, located right under what they call Suicide Bridge. People reported hearing voices and seeing orbs, and you get a feeling of anger and the fact that you're not welcome there. Doors have been reported to open and close on their own. Woman was rumored to have killed herself. She was unable to handle the voices after being at the asylum, and it just drove her over the edge. And in Pasadena's the Angeles Crest Hotel. On Lake Street, where it ends near the mountains of Angeles, or Angel's Crest, used to be an old hotel. People have seen numerous things moving around the old ruins and actually around Echo Mountain, where the hotel used to be. Then in Pasadena's the bridge at Fair Oaks exit, a murder took place there. If you look carefully, you can see a woman and her husband either dancing or fighting, depending on your point of view. And at the front yard, a girl's been seen about the age of 2 or 3 running around with a doll in her hand. And if you approach her, you suddenly find she's not there. Then in Pasadena's the Castle Green. There have been doorknobs that turned when nobody was in the hall. Shadows have been seen passing under doors when you're there by yourself. Footsteps have been heard. Faucets turned on in some of the apartments. Others report smelling heavy perfume, hearing chains rattle. And of course, as you might suspect, some apartments are more haunted than others. Then in Pasadena's the Green Street Hotel. Said that ghostly woman's been seen on the very top floor of this hotel wearing an all-white nightgown. Then there's Haunted Forest in Pasadena. Strange noises and people following you can be heard. There's also a haunted house on the hills as you go up to the mental hospital that's up on top. Then in Pasadena's the Haunted Mansion. This is in the hills overlooking the Colorado Bridge, also known as Suicide Bridge. There's an old rundown mansion that's surrounded by caution tape, and the windows are broken. They're boarded up. But if you manage to peek in, you can see the figure of a ghost moving about in the darkened rooms and even hear voices. Then there's the Rose Bowl parking lot in Pasadena. About midnight, witnesses report a lady wearing a white wedding dress is seen walking toward visitors, and right before she gets to them, she's suddenly not there. Colorado Street and Scoville Bridges. Witnesses have heard galloping horses, seen spirit coyotes surrounding a figure who's wearing some sort of headdress, and number of apparitions have been reported. Then in Pasadena's the historic state landmark theater. This is once a college of the performing arts, and it's reported to have been haunted by the benevolent spirit of its founder, Gilmore Brown. Now, long after his death, and when the college was still in operation, elevator in the classroom tower building would often stop without command on the floor where Mr. Brown's offices were located. A lot of actors and technicians have felt a spirit watching the proceedings. And on several evenings, there have been reports by witnesses of full-blown apparitions. Then there's the Pasadena Playhouse. Once a school of theater arts, now a state historic landmark. Number of people report a distinct male voice can be heard saying hello, but when you look, there's nobody there. Then in Pasadena's the Ritz-Carlton. There were two guests staying in a room. They were sleeping. In the middle of the night, the woman felt somebody grab her leg from the end of the bed. When she jumped up and looked, there was nobody there, but she distinctly felt her leg being grabbed. Paso Robles, Adelaide Cemetery. It's been said a young woman walks the cemetery looking for her children. All of them died after first settling in the area. Her husband died a short time after that. Supposedly every Friday night about midnight, a glowing figure walks the cemetery. It's the woman crying out for her children, and after about 15 minutes or so, sooner if there is witnesses there to see, she'll vanish into the darkness. And in Paso Robles, there's the Indian burial ground. There's an old Indian cemetery out near the airport. Every night, lights can be seen and voices heard in the speaking in the native's tongue. But if you go into the cemetery and look, you can't find anybody there. Then there's the Paso Robles Inn. Now, the original Paso Robles Inn caught fire many, many years ago. Because it was no 911 then, one male resident stayed behind trying to fight the fire. From a telephone inside the inn, he called every number to make sure everybody got out. Well, the stress was so much, he ended up dying from a heart attack while trying to warn the other residents. The new inn was built using some of the original bricks from the old one. It said that in one room, a ghost calls 911 periodically. It was thought of as a prank at first, but when the calls were traced, they all traced back to that one room. Interestingly enough, nobody checked into the room, and it was locked up and empty. It's believed that the resident is still trying to save others from the fire, not knowing everybody got out except him. Then there's in Paramount, there's the Paramount West Campus High School. It's said in the school auditorium, lights flicker on and off, and the screams of a girl are heard, and you can even hear deep laughter. And a number of witnesses reported hearing somebody playing a flute when there's nobody there. In the hallways connecting the auditorium to the music room, there's shadows of a young girl seen. And if you happen to be someone who plays a flute, you'll find quite often it disappears. Paramount High School. You can hear a girl screaming for help. Now, this usually occurs around midnight. Some people have witnessed the murder of the girl repeat itself time and again. And you can see the girl being thrown inside the shower after her bloody murder, and then the water will come on by itself. Petaluma, the Phoenix Theater. This used to be a movie theater, and it burned down. And it was rebuilt as an opera house, and it burned down again with people in it, but it was quite a mystery as to what caused the fires. Now, this place is a hangout for kids, and a lot of bands play there, but witnesses report seeing weird things up in the balcony. If you're up there, you can see out the corner of your eye a white figure. Sometimes it's reported it's a really dark shadow in the bathrooms, and you hear a lot of strange things. Now, the balcony's locked, so nobody can go up there unless there's a big show going on. In the basement, if you ask the owner about some of the activity that's been reported, he'll tell you about the place. And if you want to check it out, it's said to be an awesome place to go into to get scared. Pico Rivera, the El Rancho High School, the drama room. Little theater, also known as the drama room, is supposedly haunted by a former teacher named Mr. Letty. Now, his wake was held with a portrait rather than his actual body in a casket at the school, but his spirit never seems to have left that room. Costumes have been known to mysteriously come off their racks and wind up scattered on the floor. Doors are unlocked and open on their own. Lights begin to dim and turn on and off by themselves. And late at night, mysterious noises are heard. One student saw the apparition's face peek through a curtain in the little theater's office during drama class. And one teacher even claimed that when he tried to sit in one of the theater seats, it became very, very hot to the point he had to get up. Then in Pico Rivera, Rio Hondo Riverbed, there have been reports of what sounds like musket fire heard. And people have reported hearing screaming, but no one's ever been found. Then in Pico Rivera, St. Hilary School, in room 9, there have been reports of an apparition of a boy doing schoolwork. It's believed he died in a horrible car accident, but he came back to try to finish his education. Pittsburgh, California. The Old Riverside Elementary. There are reports of three spirits being there. One's a girl with long blonde hair. One's a woman with long brown hair. And there's a male that folks say is about 5'10". Witnesses reported hearing a faint, deep voice whenever he's around. Lights come on in the middle of the night. Alarm can seldom be set at night. Doors open and close. Noises are frequently heard. Voices, footsteps, and a lot of other movement has been detected. The local police department will not enter the building. Then there's the Pittsburgh High School in Pittsburgh, California. A male student was shot 18 times in the head. You can hear him running and screaming and hear the gunshots taking place. But if you go in, you never find anybody. Then in Pittsburgh High is the photo room. Apparently a young girl hung herself in the dark room. When you're in the dark room, you feel there's another presence with you and you get cold chills up your neck and back. Placentia, California, Crook Park. In the park, the girl's bathroom is said to be haunted by a girl who was raped there, and killer was never found. And to this day, every afternoon, the girl's bathroom, there'll be strange things like the lights coming on and off. And you hear screaming, even when no one's around. Then in Placentia, Tri-City Park, it's been heard by late-night joggers at footsteps tend to follow you. And it's you can also see movement in the pond water and hear an old lady's voice screaming for her lost children. No one really knows the reason for this haunting, but they do know it takes place. Then in Placer, California, at Camp Far West Lake, there's an Indian burial ground. Now, near Camp Far West Lake Recreational Area, this burial ground now lies within the boundary lines of private property because the encroachment of people into the area. And was with most Indian burial grounds, the feeling is quite strong, even after several generations. Now, recent generations have fared much better than those previous, whose family members appeared to all go mad. Been a lot of stories about the unexplained deaths, murders, suicides, and if you went into the graves and took anything out, it was especially bad. Placerville, Carey House Hotel. This is one of Placerville's most haunted sites. A lot of visitors come to investigate the supernatural. Room 212 is said to be the most haunted. Then in Placerville is a Chamber of Commerce building. Ghost of a bearded man wearing a top hat's been spotted on the mezzanine of this old landmark. Employees summoned police several times in the last decade or so in attempts to rid the building of this man's presence. They say it resembles descriptions of the town's official hangman. He's been seen in old pictures that were taken nearly 150 years ago when the town was actually known as Hangtown. Most of the hanging took place on the property where the Chamber of Commerce building is now located. That's at 542 Main Street. Then in Placerville's Empire Antiques, originally it was referred to as the Empire Theater, but that closed down. Been reports of ghosts walking up and down the aisles and a lot of strange activity in the bathrooms and been a number of cold spots reported. Then it is the Hangman's Tree Cafe in Placerville. The ghost of claim jumpers and outlaws, many sentenced to hang from an old oak tree here, are said to harass patrons and employees at a small restaurant. Several drivers reported seeing the apparitions while passing by in their automobiles. This is at 305 Main Street. Then there's the Soda Works in Placerville. Coffee Shop Saloon is located near the end of Main Street. The owners seem to be attached to it. There's an unfinished mine where supplies are kept. In the summer heat, it served as a morgue back before they had refrigeration. The ghost likes to turn on the bathroom faucets and open and close doors. He also likes to hang out at the upstairs bar. He's even called the new owner on his cell phone. There was nobody on the line, but the caller ID kept reading the phone number to the Soda Works. The problem is, at the time the calls were made, there was no one in the building. Pleasanton Cafe. The gay 90s pizza. This building was constructed in the 1800s. A woman dressed in blues reported walking around on the second floor of the building, and the owner and his family claimed to have seen her as well. She's written boo-boo on the inside of the bathroom mirror every time it's replaced. Girl went into the basement to get boxes, was violently shoved from behind. When she turned around, there was nobody there. After hours, when counting money, things had been moved, sodas moved to opposite sides of the table. The license plates that line the ceiling move randomly. Not all of them, just one or two at a time. And when the lights go out, strange things happen. Then there's the Pleasanton Hotel. Now, most of the hauntings in this structure happen in the bar area. The vintage light fixtures will go dim and then swing back and forth for a short period of time, and then stop as if somebody grabbed them. There's a strong cold spot on the north side of the dance floor. The most spooky thing, though, is when the ladies' room, there was a stall, and when someone in there was a knocking that will happen on the door. But if you check, there's no one there. And in the mirror, a gentleman with a decorated festive hat will be looking back at you. When you turn to see if he's behind you, of course, there's nobody there. A lot of employees have told similar stories. Now, the hotel's closed up tunnels under it that at one time connected it to the local police department. For those interested in history, at one point, this hotel was a very active brothel. Then Pollock Pines, logging road on Ghost Mountain. A lot of folks have reported seeing strange lights and orbs floating around. Pomona, the Charles Grill, corner of Gary and Holt Street. Apparently, there are multiple entities. Witnesses reported footsteps, slamming doors. They hear arguments, see apparitions. And the physical phenomena, such as potted trees whose tops touch the floor for a few minutes and go back to their original position. Whatever is there does definitely like to share the space with the living. It seems to enjoy the company. Then in Pomona's the Lanterman Development Center. Now, the entire building at the development center is thought to be the place with the most hauntings and activity. There was a morgue in the basement for clients that passed. All throughout the center, doors will lock and unlock themselves. Keys were actually spent in the locks. Footsteps and voices are heard in the residences. Figures can be seen going down the halls, washing their hands in the bathroom, and they enjoy playing with the staff. Then in Pomona, there's the Pomona High School. In the band room, there's said to be two spirits. One of them haunts the closet. When somebody's changing by themselves, they have a feeling of being watched. The other haunts the back left door. When there's no wind at all, the door either swings open or slams shut all of a sudden, and sometimes it refuses to open even if you pull on it. Now, located behind the school is an empty lot, which is what remains of Palomares Cemetery. Many believe this is why there are disturbances at the school. The only sign the cemetery was there is a very small park about the size of a bathroom and a plaque located on the east side of the school. Then there's Spadra Cemetery. Because of vandalism, this cemetery is now closed to the public, and the police will be called, but it was the original Old Settlers Cemetery from the mid-1800s, and it's been the site of a lot of vandalism over the years. At night, a male figure can sometimes be seen walking through the small cemetery, and he'll vanish around one particular headstone. Now, that cemetery can be very still and quiet, in fact, strangely quiet considering it's under a freeway. If respect is given, it remains quiet, but as soon as somebody starts messing around, a hot wind picks up out of nowhere. Interestingly enough, it can only be felt in the cemetery. Items have been reported to disappear and reappear in other parts of the cemetery that the owner of those items might never have visited. Then in Port Costa is the Port Costa School. Quite a number of reports of apparitions. Port Hueneme, the Bard Mansion. Now, it resides inside the Port Hueneme Naval Base, originally built in 1876 on Senator Thomas Byrd's estate, which is called Burrowwood. In 1911, the enlarged second home was torn down to clear the site for the construction of the present Thomas Baird House. It's rumored by many the mansion's haunted by the late senator's wife. A number of witnesses reported her figure could be seen walking the grounds, making sure everything is in order. Porterville, Ed Trey's Hill. Now, there was a... according to the story, when the KKK was still at large, there was a white man who lived there, who was killed by allegedly some black man. He was hung from a tree, and his head was buried underneath him. To this day, you can still hear footsteps, hear the sounds of rocks being kicked, and the laughter from what sounds like older men. There's even a few who say that scratches appear on their arms if they spend any time there at all. Then in Prunedale, Highway 101, there's a group of trees on your way to San Juan Bautista. It said when you're driving at night, if you flash your lights, you'll see the local witch appear in all her horror. You'll see bodies hanging from the trees, children standing on the side of the road with their eyes bleeding. You'll see animal corpses alongside the road, and last but not least, you'll see the witch herself standing in the middle of the road. Been a lot of accidents on this road because people swerve so they don't hit her. Nobody reports what happens if you don't swerve. Then Rialto High School. Story is that a boy shot himself on campus because of depression, and he died before graduation. He's often seen wandering around the CE and G buildings late at night. Witnesses report hearing footsteps going up the stairs to the top of the halls. Janitors and faculty members also said when the school is closed at night and are working late, you can see the image of the boy walking around the building. He actually looks lost. It's also said the C building, where the theater is located, is usually the coldest building, and unexpected things take place there, like flickering lights and cold spots and the definite sound of footsteps. Rancho Cucamonga. There are stories about hauntings at the Joseph Filippi Winery, but I don't have a lot of information other than the fact that strange things have happened there. Then there's Red Hill Park. The men's restroom in Red Hill Park by the auditorium the hauntings are very real. When you go inside, you see the corpse of a dead dog dripping with blood, and if you approach it closely, suddenly it's not there. This happens between 3 a.m. and 3:45 a.m. There was a little boy caught scraping his knees, and he slides across the bathroom floor, leading a little trail of blood behind him from his scraped knees. Then in Rancho Cucamonga, the Sycamore Inn. It's now a great steakhouse along old Route 66, established in 1848, but the original inn burned down and was rebuilt across the street. A number of people report seeing a man dressed in cowboy-type clothes walking around the property. Rancho Palo Verdes, the Point Vincent Lighthouse. It's the typical white lighthouse story of a waiting woman. It's been detailed on the news, and I think it was even on Unsolved Mysteries. There are always stories about the Coast Guard being able to keep the place staffed. They get a lot of transfer requests from those that are stationed there. Then Rancho Palos Verdes Spike. Now, Spike is a vacant lot at the end of Luanda Bay. It's surrounded by houses, but the lot remains vacant even though they've tried to build on it several times. Whenever you get near it, you start to feel like you want to vomit. And cars have been known to stop dead in front of the lot. According to local legend, a teenager went crazy and killed his family with an axe. Legend states that on certain nights you can hear screams. It's a ghostly house on the lot. It seems to be surrounded by fog. Used to be an iron gate that had a sharp black spike sticking out of it. But this was long, long ago, and the gate has since been dismantled. Now, this is, a local legend. It may or may not be true, but it does explain a lot. Then in Ravendale, the Secret Valley Inn, located off the main highway, used by truckers. Legend states a woman was murdered in one of the bathtubs. The howls and footsteps can be heard when there's nobody around. And if you're there by yourself, you'll hear the entire building creak, even when there's no wind outside. Redlands, the Fox Theater. Now, there are those that say the Fox Theater is very haunted. The presence that resides there is sometimes violent. The theater has been boarded up for about 10, 15 years, and it's now in the process of being renovated. The building it's connected to was once an opera house when Redlands was first founded. The theory is that one of the jealous actresses is still wandering around. Then there's Harris Department Store in Redlands. In a woman's dressing room, you'll hear women talking when the store is closed. The dressing room doors will slam and heavy footsteps have been heard on the roof when there's nobody there. Then there's Hillside Cemetery. It's a very old cemetery with interments dating back to the mid-1800s. A lot of people reported strange happenings, such as car horns honking by themselves, balls being thrown back over the walls after somebody's thrown them in. When you look, there's nobody there to account for the balls being thrown. Then there's the House of 1,000 Stairs. Large house with 100 stairs outside and 900 stairs inside. Said that nuns haunt the place. It was once a convent. People live there today. But it would appear they're not the only ones. Then there's Kimberly Crest. Said if you go to Kimberly Crest after hours, you see a woman on a top floor window sitting in a rocking chair. There are those that believe that it's Kimberly herself that is sitting in that chair. Then there's Mariposa Elementary. In the late 50s, early 60s, a little boy named Billy was hit by a school bus. He was immediately taken to the nurse's office where, unfortunately, he died. As he was dying, he expressed his desire to get back to school. Legend says if you knock on a nurse's door, he'll knock back or you'll hear him walking about inside the room. Sometimes he wants you to play with him on the playground, but if you refuse, he'll harass you. Now, some witnesses reported they hopped the fence and searched for the office. They found it. They knocked. They heard a very loud shuffling sound coming from the room. Now, whether it was the ghost or the custodian, they really weren't sure. They went back to the car and took a quick picture in front of the school sign that read "Welcome to Mariposa Elementary." Now, the neighbors will call the police and report trespassers. And there are those that say the noise that you hear is a time clock that makes a loud clunking noise on a regular basis. It's located near the door, so it's easily heard. Excuse me. Then in Redlands, there's Maury Mansion. Once a bed and breakfast, it's now under private ownership. Been reports of several apparitions being seen, including that of a little girl, an old man who was once the caretaker for the mansion, and a young boy. Most of these spirits appear to be friendly in nature. Then there's Prospect Park, known to be haunted by several different ghosts. A lot of people have sighted ghostly figures on the stage at Prospect Park. Years ago, a teenage girl that performed in one of the plays was raped and murdered after 3 hours. Those that did it were never apprehended. In Redlands East Valley High School, the apparition of a boy believed to be a senior who was killed the night before graduation has been seen. He's been seen all over the school area. Well, we've come to the end of another show. I want to wish you a happy Memorial Day and hope you remember that just because it's in the New York Times doesn't mean that it's true. Till tomorrow night. At 6 p.m. Mountain, 8 o'clock Eastern, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show saying have a truly great evening.